Let's please turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah 8:18. And Dustin did the last couple weeks while I've been unable to be here and just do the last two verses that he covered, three verses, as just a lead-in to Jeremiah. And I personally, you know, my through the Bible reading plan has me actually reading the way I do it, has me reading Jeremiah right now. And it really is such an amazing book when you can go through it kind of quickly and you just see the heart of God just appealing, begging the Jews, the people, his people, his chosen people, to just turn away from your idols and just repent and everything's going to be okay. And they just don't do it. And they, to their own hurt. And we try, and it really is very similar to all of us appealing to our friends, our neighbors, our family members. Why do you reject the God who created you? Why don't you just turn from your wicked way and just stop fighting God and believe in him? But they just don't want to do it. And it's almost like if you... sometimes I usually tell people, hey, read the Bible. What should I start with? The book of John. That's what I say. And I think I'm going to say, why don't you do the book of Jeremiah too? Because it is so applicable to today. To do an Old Testament book and look at God constantly reaching out to rebellious people and warning them, and they just don't get it. And that's what we're doing with people, our friends, to turn to Jesus. So Jeremiah 8:18. Jeremiah lamenting for Judah and getting a response from God in these verses into chapter 9. I would comfort myself in sorrow. My heart is faint in me. Listen, the voice, the cry of the daughter of my people from a far country. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? You know, it's like, God, I'm lamenting. I want to comfort myself, but I can only do so in sorrow. I mean, isn't God, aren't you the God of Zion, and you're telling me people from a far country are going to come? And God's response is, why have they provoked me to anger with their carved images, with foreign idols? You're lamenting what's going to happen and what you're hearing me tell you to tell them, but the real problem is, the root cause of the problem is, they're worshiping idols. And in our study on Sunday, we went in detail, partially because of this in Jeremiah, we went in detail of just how God is so offended by man pretending their God by making an idol that they bow down and worship to. Well, you know, they bow down and worship something that they made with their hands. And it's an offense to God. It's a deception of Satan. And we see it happening in our culture today. And so then Jeremiah again laments. He goes, the harvest is past. The summer has ended. You know, it's fall. The harvest is done. Winter's coming, and we're not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people, I am hurt. I am mourning. Astonishment has taken hold of me. Is there no balm in Gilead? And there was a certain medical, you know, kind of like making a medical, discovering a plant that has balm that creates healing powers. And in Gilead, they were the place where that was really harvested, is a balm of Gilead that would bring healing to injuries. Is there no physician there? Why then is there no recovery for the health of the daughter of my people? And really, there's no balm. There's no drug that you can give to the people to turn away from idolatry. There's no physicians that can deal with this problem because it's a condition of the wickedness of the heart and the rebellion against God. And Jeremiah is just lamenting, isn't there something, God, that could heal this? Do you ever feel that way with your friends and neighbors that you're witnessing to? Isn't there some way we could help get them? And nope, there's no bomb, there's no gay. You know, you wish you could give them a pill that would make them repent and, you know, turn away from their pride. But there isn't. Chapter 9, verse 1, Jeremiah again lamenting, oh, that my head were waters, my head was filled up with water, and my eyes a fountain of tears. Because I would just use all the water in my head to just come out my eyes as tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. You know, this is why it's verses like this that Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet. He's grieving over what he sees happening. And, you know, do we a little bit see what's happening in our world today? You know, when we think about the literal fulfillment of the book of Revelation, soon to come, true, and we realize, wow, a fourth of the world's population is about to die. And after that, another third is going to die. So, wow, pretty soon, one half of every human being living on earth right now is going to be dead. And there's going to be peace taken from the world. And there's going to be massive famine. When we really let it sink in, as Jeremiah was, he was letting it sink in what God was telling him was going to be happening to Jerusalem, to Judah, that it was going to be attacked and everybody was going to be killed except a few. It's making me want to cry. And we see it building up. I mean, even, do you realize how much it's building up for peace about to be taken from the world? Russia launched a secret military mission into space here a few weeks ago, and then now our intelligence agencies have figured out what it is, and they called a very special, highly classified, top secret meeting with everybody from the Congress today to go tell them what just went into space and changed the balance of power because of military capabilities. And people are all speculating what did the Russians put up there. We don't know because we weren't in the super secret meeting that just happened today. But the one speculating is maybe they put a bunch of nukes that are up there ready to just come in, be deorbited. And if you deorbit a nuke that's in space already, it's not going to be detected. It would be like instantaneous because as it comes in, the plasma field would not be detected by radar or anything. That's what some people are speculating. Whatever it is, the world is getting ready for the big shindig. It's just everybody's getting ready to nuke each other, fight each other, invade each other. And the Bible tells us peace is going to get taken from the world. And all that's going to be happening. And if we let it sink in, we'd be weeping, like Jeremiah. Verse 2, "Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place for travelers, that I might leave my people and go from them, for they are all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men." So I'm weeping because judgment's coming, and it's judgment's coming because they're all adulterers, not just in with each other and each other's wives, but also what does it take to commit adultery against God? Worship an idol. So, you know, they're adulterers in worshiping idols. They're adulterers in trading their wives. They're wicked people. And I just wish I could move to a red state and get out of here. I mean, that's the equivalent of what he's saying. I wish there was a place that I could go and get away from this and the judgment and everything that I'm seeing happen. And the answer is he can't. And like their bow, they have bent their tongues for lies. They are not valiant for the truth on the earth, for they proceed from evil to evil, and they do not know me, says the Lord. So a country ready for judgment, this is Judah in this case, what do we add up in that verse? What's a sign of a country headed for judgment? Lies. Given to lies. Do we have lies running around in our world today? I mean, it's like unbelievable. And they're not brave to defend the truth. Even the people that know the truth and don't want to lie, they don't want to stand up for it. And I hate to ad nauseum this example, but what is the greatest lie that is just sweeping the Western world today? The LGBT movement. The transgender movement. It is the greater, I mean, what greater lie is there, as I've said before, than for me to say to somebody, I'm a woman. And there's no bravery in the world today for people to say, no, you're not. You know, that's the other thing. No bravery to tell the truth. So just complete lies, not brave to defend the truth, and their evil gets worse and worse instead of repenting. Are we seeing it get worse and worse and worse? And why is all that happening? Because they don't know God. Do the American people today have a general knowledge of the God of the Bible? They don't. Why? Because it all got taken out of the schools. the Ten Commandments got taken out of the schools, so you can't know God's Ten Commandments. You can't know. Today, to carry a Bible in public is, it's almost like somebody's going to call 911 on you. It's getting bad. Jeremiah 9:4, everyone take heed to his neighbor, and I think it means immediate neighbor, and do not trust any brother, a Jewish brother, for every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will walk with slanderers. Slanderers is to tell something about you that is not true, to tell people things that are not true for the purpose of degrading your reputation in the eyes of the people you're telling. Gossip is telling them the truth, but still in a way that degrades your reputation. Slandering is just making it up. Everyone will deceive his neighbor and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies. They weary themselves to commit iniquity. Your dwelling place is in the midst of deceit. Through deceit, they refuse to know me, says the Lord. Now, so in other words, it had gotten to the point where Jeremiah is telling him, God is telling him, you better be careful of your neighbors, because everybody is trying to spread a lie and deceit and slander and mess with you. How much do people get to know each other's neighbors nowadays? It used to be when I grew up, you knew everybody on the block. Parents were all talking to each other about the kids. You knew who they were. You palled around. You would have little picnics together. And everybody was not assuming that if I get together with that neighbor, he might just lie about me, deceive me, try and go after my wife, go after my husband, steal something out of my house, watch for me to go on vacation, and just do some. Are those the kind of things you have to think about now? Yeah, when we had the washing machine delivered, the old one I wanted to keep to be able to give away when I fixed it, but it fixed itself. So then I didn't want him to take them into my garage. I didn't want the person to, you know, put it into my garage. So I had somebody else that I could trust to put it in the garage. Why? Because you just don't know. And I'm not paranoid about it. I just know this is the way our culture is. And so, and what does the Bible say? It says, Jesus warned that in the last days, the love of many will grow cold. Isn't that, and so what, that, the result of that is, you shutter your doors, you don't know your neighbor, you don't, because there's so much wickedness and evil, that natural love for one another and your neighbors and watching out for them wanes because of what's happening. And we do have to fight it. We have to, as best we can, go to our, love our neighbors, but the culture is changing things. Verse 7, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will refine them and try them. For how shall I deal with the daughter of my people? Their tongue is an arrow shot out. It speaks deceit. One speaks peaceably to his neighbor with his mouth, but in his heart he lies in wait. Shall I not punish them for these things, says the Lord? Shall I not avenge myself on such a nation as this? And what is Proverbs 25:18 says? A man who bears false witness against his neighbor is like a club, a sword, and a sharp arrow. So he said, your tongue is an arrow. Well, a tongue is an arrow when it's purposely trying to communicate something to destroy the person it's talking about. And James 3 talks about that. In fact, put in your margin James 3 homework for today. The tongue is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Whether we bless God and we curse man, it shouldn't be that way. You can't tame a tongue. Well, God wants to tame our tongues. He wants us to not slander, to lie. He wants us to tell the truth. He wants us to not speak evil of a neighbor and trying to just degrade somebody. But when God sees that happening, you know, it's not just idolatry. When he sees everybody lying and slandering each other, and just trying to, not caring about how their words go out and do, you know, cut to the heart with an arrow. He says, shall I not avenge myself on such a nation as this? Yeah, he promises to deal with it. Jeremiah responds to God saying, shall I not avenge myself? And Jeremiah in verse 10 says, I will take up a weeping and a wailing for the mountains, and for the dwelling places of the wilderness a lamentation, because they are burned up, so that no one can pass through, nor can men hear the voice of the cattle. Both the birds of the heavens and the beasts of the have fled. The birds of the heavens and the beasts have fled. They are gone. Why were they gone? Because he's either seeing into the future, or it's already starting to happen. When Babylon would come, it wasn't immediately Jerusalem. It was starting to take out the cities that were around Jerusalem as they came down. And what would that entail? It would entail all the cattle are rounded up. You're not seeing any man because they're all killed. They would burn. They would completely burn down cities. And yes, God, you shall avenge yourself, but I'm going to be weeping and wailing because of what I see. Should we get attacked and should we see major conflict in this country, would it make us want to weep when we see what really happens? And it would. And that's what Jeremiah, he's either prophetically seeing or it's already happening, and he's just weeping over the consequence of a nation that turned away from God. Then God responds, I will make Jerusalem the final prize of the Babylonian destruction. You know, they came in, they wiped out cities around, then they came to Jerusalem. I will make Jerusalem a heap of ruins, a den of jackals. You know, for us, how many have run into a jackal? Call it coyote for us. They're basically wild dog coyotes. They look like coyotes. I will make the cities of Judah desolate without an inhabitant. And if a fourth of the world's population dies, there's going to be all kinds of empty cities, waste cities, burned cities. And nobody goes through. Animals will be going around, you know, the wild animals. And Dustin and I talked about this when it was talking, you know, when he was doing Exodus. God didn't go in, didn't tell the Jews to conquer everything all at once because of the beasts. And the beasts are predatory animals that would multiply when there is a situation with a lot of dead people around. They're going to multiply. The food supply is going to go up. And then it's going to be so hard for you to even travel without having a jackal get you. Jeremiah 9:12, Jeremiah says, who is the wise man who may understand this? And who is he whom the mouth of the Lord has spoken, that he may declare it? Why does the land perish and burn up like a wilderness so that no one can pass through? Why is this happening? It's gotten to the point where you can't even pass through the land because of the judgment that God has brought. And the Lord said, verse 13, because they have forsaken my law, which I set before them, and have not obeyed my voice, nor walked according to it, but they have walked according to the dictates of their own hearts and after the Baal. So they do what, you know, do what your own heart says and go after the idols, which their fathers taught them. So, again, listing what are the things that brings judgment. They forsake God's law. No longer is the law of God spoken. And once again, how often do you hear, you shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not murder. You shall obey, you know, honor your father and mother. Those are the human ones. How about, you shall not have any other God before you besides the God that created the heavens and the earth. It was so important for Satan to get that out of our culture, to work on the decades-long mission to destroy this country, that he started with taking the Ten Commandments off the school walls. And it was during my time of being a young kid in school, and there was my brother told me that he saw the principal weeping over that and other decisions that were made right around that time. Basically saying the Congress and the courts have just destroyed this country, kind of weeping, knew then this is the destruction of our country. And it's only escalated since, you know, it's only increased the foolishness. So forsaking God's law, if they hear the word, they refuse to obey God's law. try and tell people, you know what, really, you shouldn't be sleeping together. It's called fornication. You really shouldn't be doing this and doing that. And then they, you know, they plug their ears. Don't tell me anything unless you want to get a face, you know, knuckle sandwich. Or I don't want to hear it. And number three, the people come up with statements like, just follow your heart. Is that a nice term today? Just don't listen to those Christians. Just follow your heart. That's like follow the dictates of their own hearts. The modern day version is just listen to your heart. What does the Bible say about the heart? It's deceitful, wicked. Our own, you know, don't lean on your own understanding, your own heart. In all your ways acknowledge Him and His laws, and He shall direct your paths. And then they go after the Baals. So have you ever heard the term, believe in God, whoever you conceive Him to be? You know, that was a big thing when I was a kid too. There was a song made about it and stuff. And it actually was, it's called the Desiderata. Desiderata by Max Ehrman, who wrote it in 1927. And he was a writer and a philosopher kind of a guy, and he wrote this thing and that had this line in it, and he was from Germany. He never got married until 3 months before he died. Most people at the time believed he was a homosexual. But this is what he wrote in this Desiderata. Beyond a wholesome discipline, be gentle with yourself. You are a child of the universe, no less than the trees and the stars. You have a right to be here. And whether or not it is clear to you, no doubt, the universe is unfolding as it should. Therefore, be at peace with God, whatever you conceive Him to be. That's where that term came from, is from this German guy that came to America, was a writer, and, you know, became really popular. And then it goes on to say, and that's walking according to the dictates of your own heart and after the Baals. Well, I've conceived in a God that really likes what I do. And I'm just going to believe in me. And see, and all the emphasis on me. Now, who started the emphasis on me? Satan. This is all satanic garbage that's through our culture today. That, you know, just, you got to love yourself. You got to think about you. You got to take care of you. And what does God say? I got to love God. I've got to deny myself. I have to deny my desires and my fleshly ways, which are sinful and rebellious against God, so that I can have life and joy and peace in God, my Creator, telling me what to do instead of what I want to do. And then goes, his little thing goes on to say, and whatever your labors and aspirations, in the noisy confusion of life, keep peace in your soul. With all its sham, drudgery, and broken dreams, it is still a beautiful world. Be cheerful. Strive to be happy. Don't worry. Be happy. That philosophy got very popular into our culture that was at the same time we were pulling the Ten Commandments off the wall. The same time these things are coming together, out with God, in with a demonic me, myself and I message, which was going on in Jeremiah's day by the Jews who were just doing the same thing, dictates of their own heart. Jeremiah 9:15. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed them, this people, with wormwood, and give them water of gall to drink. I will scatter them among the Gentiles, whom neither they nor their fathers have known. Well, who were the Gentiles that the fathers did know? Well, they knew about the land of Canaan. They came out of Syria. They knew the land of Canaan. They knew the land of Egypt. And he goes, I'm going to send you someplace you have never even seen. Where was that? Babylon. And I will send a sword after them until I have consumed them, although we know from later passages, not all of them. The ones God is going to consume are the ones that refuse to listen to Jeremiah say, run, defect to Babylon, and you spare your life. Today, who's going to get consumed? Everybody that doesn't run to refuge in Jesus. Everyone is going to get consumed that refuses to listen to the warnings of God about the coming tribulation period and refuse to turn to Him and to believe and trust in Him, and they reject Him, they reject people that tell Him, and so they're going to not run to the refuge of Jesus, and they will be destroyed. Jeremiah 9:17, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider and call for the mourning women. You know, mourning, like not in the morning, but like grieving. Consider and call for the grieving, mourning women, professional mourners. And they would do that. You'd hire people for a memorial service for a dead relative. You would hire people that were there to cry. Call for the mourning women that they may come and send for skillful wailing women. I guess there's an art to be able to cry. Skillful wailing women that they may come. Let them make haste and take up a wailing for us, that our eyes may run with tears and our eyelids gush with water. For the voice of wailing is heard from Zion. How we are plundered. We are greatly ashamed because we have forsaken the land and because we have been cast out of our dwellings. You better get some professional mourners, because you're about to get told that you don't get to live in Jerusalem anymore. And you're going to go out with nothing, or you're going to go out dead. You're either going to defect to the Babylonians, go with a shirt on your back and scoot out of town and go with nothing and defect to Babylon and spare your life, or you're going to stay here and you're going to be taken out in a body bag. In either case, you're wailing because of the loss of your dwelling place. If there's any truth at all to the millions of people that have come across our border in the last 3 years, many of which, it's a fact, it is true, many of which are fighting age Chinese and other people that hate America, if there's any truth to the fact that they are all being organized to create absolute chaos in this country, and it gets unleashed when an order gets made that now's the time, and they go through, and can you imagine, people will be freaked in this country, because it's going to be the first time since the Civil War that there is going to be, people will be, wow, this horde of people are coming in this area and they're armed and they're everything and we're not ready, and they'll be looking to get out of town with just nothing but what fits in their car and on their back and heading to someplace that's safe. Only, it's quite likely they won't be able to find a place that's safe. And they'll be weeping. They'll be wailing. And if we're going to be here for that, could be here for that before the rapture, it's going to be... What's going to be the one thing, although the tears of human life are going to be there, what's the one thing that's going to help us get through? This isn't our home. And Jesus told us these. Why? You know, Jeremiah, he had to experience all this. He had to experience all of this except death. Because God said, you're not going to die. But he got starved. They tried to kill him by dropping into a cistern later. But he had the hope of knowing that he had a relationship with God. And we could experience some of this stuff and just say, naked I came into this world, naked I'm going to go out of this world, blessed be the name of the Lord. They might have taken my house, they might have burned my house down, they might have taken my truck, they might have taken my transportation, everything else, but wherever I'm going, just take that moment that the world doesn't have, and just say, but it is well with my soul, Jesus, because my life is hidden in Christ. And no matter what happens, I'm going to go die and be in heaven with God forever and ever and ever. And that's what helped Jeremiah get through it. And, in the Civil War days, all those people, the armies would come through, they had to flee their houses and watch whole cities burn down. Real, real crying. 9:20, yet hear the word of the Lord, O women, and let your ear receive the word of his mouth. Teach your daughters wailing and everyone her neighbor a lamentation, for death has come through our windows, has entered our palaces to kill off the children, no longer to be outside, and the young men no longer on the streets, because death has come. The siege has come on Jerusalem. Speak, verse 22, thus says the Lord, even the carcasses of men shall fall as refuse on the open field, like cuttings after the harvester, and no one shall gather them. Imagine when the armies are coming and the people are out doing their fields. Because again, the way they would live in the time is they would make a strong city wall. Jerusalem had a very strong wall. But you don't grow all your crops inside the city. You do that outside. And so you're going outside of the different cities that were scattered around, and those were where your crops were. Well, imagine the cavalry of your enemy comes by and they catch you out in the field. And what do? They just come and slaughter you out in the field, leave you there. And what this is saying is they're going to just be refuse out in the open. Like they're going to be like the cuttings of a harvest. You go through in with a sickle and you just sickle down and the harvest goes down. The sickling of the people is going to go down. And nobody's going to go out and bury them. Why? Because they'll get killed too. So everybody's going to be too afraid to give them a burial. Verse 23 and 24. Is such an incredible verse, two verses, that I'm going to encourage everybody here to memorize it. Let's try and memorize these two verses this next week. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. The Lord delights in a person who knows him and that he is the creator and he's a loving God, although he's judging in righteousness. And now why does this verse put right in here? All this wailing of everybody, the corpses and everybody else is down. Were there rich people in Jerusalem that were slaughtered? Were there poor men that were slaughtered? Were there wise? Were there really wise people slaughtered? Did some of them have doctorate degrees, probably? Really rich, had a great retirement plan and everything else? And what did it do for them? Nothing. It did nothing for them. When judgment came, rich, poor, free and enslaved, wise, elites, whatever, didn't matter, they died. If they rejected God. But if the low life, the ones that the people, the three-piece suit guys and the wise guys and the ones with the degrees looked on the knuckle dragging in their mind, just common person that wasn't elite like they were. But that common person says, you know what? I know God. And I believe in Jeremiah the prophet. I'm going to sneak out of this city. I'm going to go defect to Babylon because that's what God told Jeremiah to say. And I believe the God of Jeremiah is the real God. So when judgment comes, that's the thing to glory in. I'm alive because I love God. I know God. And I love him. He's the creator. And so we get to live. And not only just live, we get to live forever. And as a result of meditating on this, I thought, I'm going to start asking people, just a stranger, hey, we're here for a minute or two, what, just to get to know you, what's your greatest accomplishment in life? I'm going to start asking this question. Oh, well, I received a doctorate degree. Part of the news yesterday with all this student loan stuff going on. This lady was $800,000 in debt for student loans. Has two master's degree, but definitely not in financial wisdom. You gotta be kidding me. And of course the media is spinning it, oh, you poor soul, and what we gotta do is just relieve all that debt that everybody paid money into, and so you're basically gonna stiff everybody. I mean, it's just the whole country's gone nuts with the truth of what's going on. And so, I got two master's degrees. I did this. I'm the best at that. I'm whatever else. And then let them finally get around to, well, what's your greatest claim? I know Jesus. I know the creator of the universe. I know the God who is loving and kind and gave us prophecy to tell us that, this earth is passing away in the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever. Have you ever thought about that? So that's going to be my next line to you. So can we memorize this next week? And whoever wants to take a shot at showing that you did, you can come up here and we can do it, okay? Lead us in memorizing it. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will punish all who are circumcised with the uncircumcised. You Jews, you're circumcised. We're the promised people of God. We're, you know, we can prove it. We're circumcised. Well, I'm going to punish you with the uncircumcised. Why? Well, verse 26, Egypt, Judah, Edom, and the people of Ammon, Moab, and all who are in the farthest corners who dwell in the wilderness, for all these nations are uncircumcised. So I'm going to use these nations to destroy the circumcised. Well, then verse 26, the second word is Judah. Well, wait a second, God. Why are you saying Judah? Because we are circumcised. For all these nations are uncircumcised, and all the house of Israel are uncircumcised in the heart. Because you're circumcised on the outside, I'm going to let these uncircumcised nations destroy you, because you know what? Really, you're uncircumcised. Because your heart is really not a chosen people heart. You have rejected the God of the Bible. And everybody's heart here is circumcised of Jesus. It means, God, take my heart. I want to stop my heart being wicked and unruly, like the Jeremiah says. Who can know it? I want my heart to be stopped from doing my own thing, from letting God be whoever I conceive him to be. I want my heart to be after the true God, to worship the true God who created all things. And keep doing the circumcision, God, all my life. I want to get closer and closer to you, more and more in love with your law, more and more in love with people that are lost, so that I can try and share with them how they too can have everlasting life. That's our life's mission, to love on people and to love God with a passion for loving the truth in a world full of lies. Judgment's coming, just like in the days of Jeremiah. As you read on, the people go, oh, Jeremiah, what's the word today? You're Mr. Gloom and Doom. That's how they think about us right now. But when it comes, they're going to say, wow, there's consequences for what we have done. And there are. There's consequences for what we as a country and a people have done. We've rejected the God of pure waters and gone after cisterns, broken cisterns that can't hold water. And there's going to be consequences for that. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that, again, it applies to us today. And that you, even in your great wisdom, God, raised up these prophets and to record events that you knew would be eternally applicable, that they would last for all the nations to, throughout history, people could have read Jeremiah and different nations at different times it would all apply to. And we see that it's really applying to America today and what's going on with us, much like what happened to Judah. And we pray that you would help us to have the heart that you want us to have during this time, a heart circumcised by you and your Holy Spirit, setting us apart to be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship God.
Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other, Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other, Jesus is the way. If you have some questions in the corners of your mind, traces of discouragement and peace you cannot find. Reflections of your past seem to face you every day. But this one thing I do know, Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other, Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. I know you've got mountains that you think you cannot climb. I know your skies are dark. You think the sun won't shine. In case you don't know, but the word of God is true. And everything he's promised, he will do for you. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way.
That being the biblical Jesus is the way. You know, even to this day, as many other Jesuses there are, you know what the world really hates is the name of Jesus. Have you noticed that? And we were in the office, there was somebody running a YouTube clip on the two quarterbacks were supposedly Christians for the Super Bowl teams. And I had heard that about the San Francisco 49er who is Brock Hurd, right? Purdy, yeah, Brock Purdy, I'm sorry. And Purdy, in going through the clips, Brock Purdy said one time, you know, I really am a believer in Jesus and he died for my sins on the cross. And I go, wow, that's cool. And then all the other clips, he's not saying that. You know, it's something else. And I wondered whether or not they said, look, Brock, I mean, you know, you go too far with that Jesus stuff. Or they edit it all out, you know. So, but, you know, Jesus is the answer, and that should be on our lips to everybody that we know. Jesus is your answer, whatever it is. And people, I've had people tell me, Kevin, I'm going through this. You know, Jesus can solve it. No matter what it is, Jesus is the way. God bless you. Keep you in his care.